service today. Today's first Sunday after Easter is called Eastertide. Easter's not over with just Easter Sunday. It actually continues all the way up to Pentecost Sunday, which is the last Sunday in May this year. It's actually longer than Lent, although it never usually feels that way. In the lectionary, some of you may know what a lectionary is. It is a guide of suggested scripture readings for each week in the Christian year. And the lectionary, following on the Sunday after Easter, rotates the story of doubting Thomas 1 year, and then the story of Jesus going to the Sea of Tiberias during these post-resurrection days to reclaim Peter, who had denied him 3 times. We are in the year today of Thomas, doubting Thomas and that story. Some of you may know also that this Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, is called Low Sunday. Now, it's not like Lo and Behold, L and O. It's not that. It's L-O-W, which means everybody who was here last Sunday is not here this Sunday. But the saints are gathered here this morning, aren't they? Here, a great post-resurrection story. There are 9 of them in the Gospels. 9 of them. Jesus makes 9 different appearances in the 40 days he stayed on earth before ascending to his Father. The Apostle Paul will add 2 more that he tells about. So we have in the Bible a total of 11 of these post-resurrection appearances. But this has to be one of the more famous ones. The story of doubting Thomas, or as I prefer to call him, the story of Thomas the Thinker. Hear God's word, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. When it was evening on that day, that's Easter day, resurrection day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them. Don't miss that. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of those nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they have come to believe." You may or may not know that there are 3 places in the world that claim to possess the index finger of the Apostle Thomas. One of them is at a mosque in Mosul, Iraq. The second one is in the Holy Cross of Jerusalem Basilica in Rome. And the third one is in the St. Thomas Apostle Basilica in Ortona, Italy. Now, it makes you ask a question, doesn't it? How many fingers did that man have? But these places claim to have preserved under glass all these centuries the very index finger of the great disciple Thomas. Now, it doesn't take you long, nor does it take me long, to be highly suspect of such a thing. Only way you could ever really know for sure, isn't it, is if there were DNA testing, and DNA testing wasn't around back in those days. Also, as you have just heard, the Gospel of John never says, it never says, Jesus says, Thomas, come put your finger in the mark of my nails and put your hand in my side. But the Gospels never say that he actually did it. He might have done it. We just don't know it. But according to the Gospels, he didn't need to. And Thomas would shelve his request for an autopsy when he saw the risen Jesus standing right before him. But this story does highlight for us this idea about proof. This idea about proof. And we know that there are things in our lives that we just need proof of. We want to be sure of. And here's one of these situations in the Bible. So let's have a look at it. The text is exciting. Jesus, on resurrection day, apparently had gone across the countryside. But that night, resurrection night, on the first day of resurrection, he came to the disciples where they were. Now the text says that they had shut down. They were behind closed doors. And the doors were locked. In other words, the security system was on. And all of a sudden, Jesus, who doesn't let a locked door bother him now, he just goes right through it. Do you remember? He said to us, I am the door. And so he stands with the disciples on this Sunday night. What a day it had been. And he said to them, here are my hands and my side. You can see the marks of the nails in my hand and in my side. Then Jesus breathed a word of hope into them. Blessed are you who believe. If you go and forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you refuse to forgive the sins of others, they are retained. Peter Marty, noted author, says that every one of us need two kinds of oxygen to live. One is the oxygen of breathing. We need the oxygen of breathing to live. The second is the oxygen of hope. We need the oxygen of hope in our hearts and in our spirits about life and living to live. So here comes Jesus bringing both of them. My guess is they had a hard time breathing that day. You ever have a hard time just breathing? I know physically we can, but sometimes emotionally and spiritually we just have a hard time breathing. And so Jesus brought to them this great breath of hope. Here I am. Here are the mark of the nails in my hands and in my side. What a moment that must have been that night. But here's the problem. Thomas was not there. We don't have any kind of indication why he wasn't there. He was not there with the disciples. Maybe they had encountered Thomas a little bit earlier in the day, and maybe they would encounter him that week. But when they did, Thomas heard them saying, "We have seen the risen Lord." Thomas wasn't buying it. Thomas was one of these people that believed in real world data. Real world data. He was there. He just couldn't get here to believe that dead people rise again. Thomas knew that that tomb had been sealed and that Pilate had given the order, go and seal it extra tight so that no one can steal that body and claim that he was resurrected. But he just wasn't buying it. Oh, we depend on real world data, don't we? We identify with Thomas, but we know other things too, don't we? How does a mother know in the middle of the night that her little baby's uncovered and she gets up and goes and puts the cover over that little baby? You know that stuff. You know when you can look into the eyes of others and you see things, you know in a second that there's something troubling, something difficult going there. There's other kind of data, isn't there, besides just real world data. But Thomas was not having it. Thomas even said, unless I put my hands in his, I will not believe this. Unless I can take my fist and put it in his side, I'm not going to believe this. Now, don't be too hard on Thomas. Thomas the doubter. Not too hard to doubt, is it, that dead people come to rise again, and especially for Jesus. I like to think of Thomas as a thinker. I like to think of a Baptist congregation as thinkers. People who love to grapple with great truths and great ideas. Thomas had to know all of that. But then the text says, 8 days later. That phrase captured me this week. You know, sometimes we pray a nervous prayer and we expect God to come right then. You'd think God might have come to Thomas on Monday. 8 days later. My guess is that during that week, Thomas had a hard time breathing. Had a hard time breathing. Taking all this in and making something of it. And then comes the story that the next Sunday night, very same scene, the disciples are together. They are together in this place. They're behind closed doors. They are shut down in some way, maybe still afraid of Pilate and his soldiers. And then the story is Jesus comes and stands in the midst of them again. This time, Thomas was there. And Jesus came to his beloved disciple, Thomas. Thomas. And Thomas saw for the first time since that awful Friday the risen Lord standing before him. It is a great moment. And then Jesus says, Thomas, take your fingers and put them in the mark of my nails. You can take your fist and put it in my side. And again, no mention that this ever happened in the text. And then Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus gives an invitation to all of them, and especially to Thomas. Thomas, have you believed just because you've seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. On that second Sunday night, Jesus poured the second kind of oxygen into Thomas. It was the oxygen of hope. and believe and trust. Oh, you may know the story about him. Thomas became a great preacher, first to Egypt, then went to India. He was killed, it is reported, by some zealots who took exception to his message. But he became a great preacher and a great missionary. What a story it is. One of the nine. Isn't it something how Jesus goes and reclaims those people having a hard time and even those who failed him during that week? Three lessons I don't want you to miss. First, I don't want you to miss the behind closed doors part of the story. I don't want you to miss that the disciples had gone because they were afraid. There's not a person in here this morning that's not afraid of something. We all have fears. We all have fears. We may be afraid that something might happen to us or happen to our families. Some of us are praying that we'll stay in our right minds all of our lives. We're afraid. Sometimes we shut down. You don't have to answer out loud. But do any of you have an area of your life that you've put behind closed doors? You're afraid. You've shut down. Shut down. And that shutting down has made it hard for you to metaphorically breathe. I wonder this morning, on this Sunday after Easter, if this might be a great morning for us to invite Jesus into those places in our heart that we've shut down or that we're afraid, to invite Him in and help Him to come in and to be with us in what we're doing. It is not wrong to lock a door. Jesus is not more upset with Thomas because he doubted. And I'll tell you something I came to conclusion to this week at reading these stories and spending time with this story is I don't think Thomas doubted any more than anybody else did in these stories. I really believe that. You read all through these resurrection narratives and all the stuff, I don't think he doubted any more than any of the rest of them. But I love the way Jesus came to a group of people who were afraid and to some people who had shut some things down in their hearts. This may be matters of very private transactions today in my heart and in yours, to invite Jesus into our heart to deal with something that's hard. And to come to us. That's one thing. I just don't want you to miss that. Jesus comes to people who are afraid, who are nervous, who are behind closed doors, and who have shut down some. That's one thing. Here's the second thing. I don't want you to miss how much Jesus loved Thomas. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus is not angry with Thomas. He's not angry with us when we doubt and believe. And the real truth is, here are two wonderful people trying to do the right thing. I think Thomas has character. I read an article this week about character, and it was talking about how we're missing a lot of character in people in this day and time. Is that right? Thomas had, he was honest. He was a grappler. He was a thinker. And sometimes when you doubt, where you come out, you have much stronger faith than where you started. That happens. I think it happened with Thomas. I like the way two good people helped each other. I don't want you to miss that in the story. The risen Lord Jesus coming to Thomas and loving him. And help. He comes with gentleness. If you're hurting today, I want you to know that the Lord will come to you in a gentle way. And will you live this out? Do you know someone hurting today that you might contact later on today or this week? Do so in a gentle manner. That's living like Jesus, isn't it? And it means so very much. Listen, it wasn't proof. It wasn't proof that turned Thomas around. It was the presence of Christ. It wasn't that empty tomb that turned anybody around. All that was an empty tomb. What turns you around is the presence of the Lord with you. And that's what happened there. Is it really true we need two kinds of oxygen? The kind to breathe and the kind to hope. And the end of all this was an invitation. Thomas, have you believed because you've seen? Blessed are those who will believe because they have not seen. I'm getting ahead of myself here. This is supposed to wait till May 26, Pentecost Sunday. But you remember what happened. Once these disciples right here in this story, right here in this story, once they got that new breath of hope in them, you remember what happened at Pentecost. At the end of that, they met every day, had communion. They shared all their possessions in common. They were generous beyond generosity could imagine. And the people were flocking to the kingdom every day. This group of people right here. It is an amazing story. Today, the risen Lord is in our midst. He'll come to you if you're afraid. He'll come to you if you are shut down. And He will come in a gentle manner and breathe the breath of hope. May it always be true of us that we can breathe the air, but we can breathe the hope that the resurrected Lord Jesus brings to us all. Thanks be to God for the resurrection and for the living Lord Jesus in our midst today.